It's not all that uncommon these days. A pit bull attacks and kills a child. The loss is horrible, irreparable. That is the scenario we begin our time with today, here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. That scenario is laid out for us in a greater fashion in Exodus chapter 21, verses 28 through 36. How do you handle harm and justice when it comes to animals and humans? And what is the value of human life? These are questions we're answering here today on Abounding Grace. So make it a point to join us. Again, the scenario of a dog killing a child. And that is where we begin our time together. With this edition of Abounding Grace Radio, now our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
The pain that people live with when these scenarios happen, and there's no way that payment could be made. There's no way they get a sense of justice. It just doesn't happen. Because what could be done to pay for that? That's the scenario. You can't bring back the loved one. Does the death of the pit bull pay for it? Of course not. Now, think of the question of our Heidelberg, can any creature, any at all, pay the debt? And the answer, of course, is no. Who's paying for life? Who's paying for life? But in this case, think of how awful this is, the loss of life. It can't be brought back. The life is gone. Now, the scenario begins to develop a little bit. God heaps a new sort of a nuance in the case study. If you look down at verse 29, but if the ox tended to thrust with its horn in times past, and it's been made known to his owner, and he's not kept it confined so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and the owner also shall be put to death. So he couldn't control the animal. But it's far different now. It's a far different scenario now. If the owner knew the ox had a history, and again, you really don't want to get rid of your ox. That's a huge cost to you. So you know it's been unruly. It's a really hard thing to go take out your ox, your means of living. But it's got a history of goring. It's got a history of going after people. You don't do anything about it. In other words, if the owner knew it was like this, and it happened that the ox then went out and the ox gored somebody, the Lord commanded that the owner and the ox had to be put to death. There was a man on the news the other day furious because his neighbors were complaining. Again, I use the pit bull scenario just because I just use it. We're complaining about his violent pit bull. And he says, look, my children are running out in the street all the time, and this pit bull is known to be violent. This pit bull is known to attack, and he's got a history. And the guy says, my pit bull won't do anything. If that pit bull went and killed one of those children, in that scenario, in the theocracy, God says that owner's liable. And guess what? Life for life. Now, that's far different because my irresponsibility and negligence and failing to do what I should have done in my sin of omission, I have now caused the loss of a life through my animal. And you see the basic principle here that God is holding people responsible for even the sins of negligence, isn't he? You see that in verses 33 through 36, that God's hold people accountable not only for what happens, but also for negligence and failing to do what they should have done. If a man digs a pit and doesn't cover it and an ox falls into it, he's got to make it good. Or if one guy's ox hurts another guy's ox, they have to sell the ox and divide the money and whatever is left of the dead ox, divide it. And again, if he was negligent and he did not stop his violent ox, he has to give ox for ox. If it hurts, you'll notice here all the principles here at the end of this. Or if it's known that the ox has been accustomed to gore in the past and its owner's not kept it in, he shall repay ox for ox and the dead beast shall be his. Now, why is that important in our context? And stay with me. I believe this will hopefully come together for you. If an animal killed a human, at the fault of the human, human life was required. If a human killed an animal at the fault of the human, human life did not pay for that, but money could make up that loss. So you're seeing the distinction here? We're having to get to the issue of the value of human life in the midst of all these crimes of negligence. And that distinction was important because God was having them think a lot about the value of human life and the responsibility to love their neighbor. Again, we come back to love, don't we? How often are courts full of people who cry out all the time, "I didn't mean for that to happen"? I mean, this is how our court system goes. The Lord was making it clear that if you could have reasonably prevented something like this from happening and knowingly didn't do what you were supposed to do, you were to suffer the consequences in the full. Now let's go back to the scenario. Second scenario, if your pit bull, if your ox went out and killed somebody and you knew that it had the propensity, you knew it had the tendency to be violent and you did nothing. You've been completely negligent with your ox. And that resulted in the death of somebody else, life for life. That's remarkable. What are the consequences? You're responsible for that life. You have to pay for that life with your own life. Did that really pay for the human life? This got me this week, that question. Think about that. Did your life really pay for somebody else's life? I ask that because people view God as a bloodthirsty God in the Old Testament, and this is what God desired, blood. It left wide open the question, on what basis could there ever be mercy? Could there be mercy? If God required strict justice and man who has sinned had to pay for his sin, I want you to look very carefully at verse 30 tonight. Verse 30 is very moving. Here is an owner who knew his ox had a history, did nothing, absolutely negligent dairyman, farmer. It happened that one of his bulls, a ruthless bull with a history, runs into your field and kills one of your family members. Look at what it says. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life whatever is imposed on him. You know what could happen? Let's say a father and mother had their son killed. Let's say this was your son who was killed by a negligent ox owner. And they went to him and said, "Your ox has almost killed my son. You need to do something about it. He does nothing." And one day that ox goes out and just tramples him. Let me bring this home a little further. Let me bring this home to our context. You've got a drunk driver living on your street. Your kids are out playing in the street, riding on the bike. You've told this guy numerous times, "Listen, I've got kids out here. I'm calling the police on you. I've done that. Police have come. Nothing happens. You got to stop drinking and driving down our street." Next week, he comes barreling down the street, hits one of your kids, and they die. This is a scenario. The law said you could demand strict justice. You could demand the death penalty. What would you do? What would you do? That's a lot harder of a question than you realize. I would be so furious. Death penalty's what's deserved, isn't it? Oh, I'd be so furious. How would you get control of yourself after that? You feeling this? What if the man asked for mercy? "I told you 10 times to stop driving your car drunk down my street. Be merciful to me." Mercy. Mercy. Sounding familiar? I don't know if you were here this morning. You'll know. That would be a real test for you, wouldn't it? That would be a big test for you. I saw a court case recently where the father of a girl who had been murdered in the courtroom lunged at the killer because the killer was jeering and mocking all the prosecutors and everyone, and this father just lost it. Whoosh, and you should have seen the whole courtroom go crazy. But what if that man had said mercy? The parents, the loved ones, could relinquish the whole thing to the elders. And what the elders would do would be to demand a ransom payment. He could, in a sense, pay for his own life. But notice the text gives no price on that. It's struggling to give a price on that right now. You're not getting a price on human life. And really, did your life pay for that life if they demanded strict justice? And the answer is, of course not. And if we get into theology a little thicker, you know, because no sinner can pay for another sinner. What amount of money could atone for that kind of negligence? Think about it. This is a really powerful case. If some guy had in the neighborhood a pit bull and it was known for being violent and it took down one of my kids, I would be an absolute mess. No amount of money could satisfy for my child's life. And would I feel good if he went to the death chamber after that? Would I really feel satisfied? Billions couldn't pay for my kid's life. I'd never take it. Now, here's what's amazing. The law gave a provision for mercy. What would you do? I want to make sure we understand this. We're not talking about property. We're talking about negligence and death. If a drunk driver had a history of doing this, went out and ran over your child, under the theocratic rule, the driver would die. But if you as a parent, if you could, if you desired, in your compassions, you could show mercy by requesting a ransom payment. It really didn't pay for much. It was only a recognition that what was lost for you, to you, was of immense value. And the elders had to determine it. You didn't determine it. Motives were then kept right. Now, on what basis could the law offer that? Where's justice? Does mercy dissolve justice? Is justice lost? And now you understand a little bit. In Matthew, when Jesus is dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're enacting the lex talionis, and they're saying eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and Jesus is saying, you've heard that it was said, they were abusing the law of God. What was Jesus talking about when all of a sudden, in the midst of all this, he's saying, no, you misunderstand the law. Did you know that the law actually had a provision for mercy? You have heard that it was said, that's your tradition of men, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He's expounding on their tradition at that point, even though that was a biblical truth, what they had done to it. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And Christ goes on, everyone had come to the point of demanding strict retribution. If you've harmed me, you got to pay up. If you've done this to me, you got to suffer. And Jesus was saying in the law itself, there was a provision for mercy. So apply it. In this case, when the owner of the ox was negligent and he knew his ox was bad and the ox went out and killed someone, the strict penalty was death. But Jesus was saying the one who lost a loved one didn't always have to exact strict justice, did they? No. Because even in the law, notice this, God gave the person who had been offended an opportunity to show mercy. How could you show mercy? You're all struggling in these kind of situations. How could I show mercy in that kind of situation? Well, you would have had to have experienced mercy yourself, right? The mere fact that there was a provision of mercy in the law of God meant that it was always intended, and there was intended a provision that would satisfy him and that would make the redemption of life possible. Something was there. Something was intended, and that's why God cut a covenant with Abraham. And that's why the Heidelberg comes along and says, what kind of mediator and deliverer do you look for then? Don't forget the story here tonight. I was afraid I didn't do quite justice to it last time, but I want everyone to look back just for a moment at verse 18 in chapter 21. When men quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist and the man does not die but takes to his bed, then if the man rises again and walks outdoors with his staff, he who struck him shall be clear. So you get that. Two men fight. One strikes the other, and he does not die. If the man gets up, he's clear. What would have happened if two men quarrel, one man strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and the man dies? It would have been over. Unless, verse 19, he rises again. And that's what this text says. Unless he gets up, he'll be clear. What would have happened? Well, to make clear, the only way you would have been able to show mercy is to understand mercy. And what did the entire Old Testament look forward to? That God would give his own son. Think about this for a moment. We struck a man and he died. So that verse 32 shows us something that the New Testament picks up to teach us about Jesus. Look carefully at verse 32 tonight. If an ox gores a male or female slave, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. What strikes you about that? A slave's life was worth less than a free man. If the slave was gored, the owner who owned the slave, since he lost the slave, was to be paid 30 shekels of silver. And God was saying, there's even justice for the life of a slave, but now we've got a price put on it. Now we've got a price put on it. When a master bought a slave, that's what he paid. Why does this matter? Here's the shock. That's the value we put on the life of Jesus. Why do I say that tonight? Because that's the price Judas paid to sell him. 30 shekels of silver. That's what we put on his life. Jesus became the slave, and it wasn't an ox that gored him. We did it. And Judas paid for his life before it was even taken, sold him as a slave. And the New Testament scriptures are telling us, when we read that he sold him for 30 shekels of silver, they're saying, read Exodus 21. That was the value of a slave's life. But what a marvel. Why do I say that? Because it was the Father's gift, that life, to redeem your life. And what was the value on the life of the Son of God? For us, it was nothing. It's 30 shekels of silver. But it was the Father's best gift he could ever give. And what was the value really on that life? The death of the Son of God at our hands became the payment for our lives as murderers. And that life actually paid for our life. So that today we have received mercy. And we provide no payment in return. Notice that. No payment is given in return. Now, doesn't that mean a little bit from this morning? Jesus, Son of David, mercy. Have mercy on me. Jesus had just said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murder. Mercy. Mercy. She understood that the kind of mediator and deliverer we should look for then is one who is truly human and truly righteous, yet more powerful than all creatures. That is, he must also be truly God. Mercy. And why could he give it? Why was there a provision for mercy? Think about it. Because he paid for your life and paid for your sins with his own life when it should have been us. But we could never do it. And the provision of mercy was met by him offering himself for our offense. So if I were to ask the question tonight, how much does God value your life? Well, it's of infinite value, isn't it? Because it was paid for and bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who became a slave for you. And look at how you valued him. Well, that's why we as believers don't view now the loss of life in this life as the end of the story. Go back to the first scenario. If something tragic happens to a believer, if we lose a child of one of God's promises, if something tragic happens and it's no one's fault, or it is somebody's fault, it is negligence, I can get up again. Why? Because it's not the end of the story. They're going to get up again. Because you see, the precious blood of Jesus has made that possible. You understand, now there is no glaring omission. That if I lose a life that's precious, it's just over and I don't know how to go on. No, Christians don't think that way anymore. Christians don't think that way anymore. Life has been paid for so that we could say that whoever believes in him, even though he dies in this sad world, he'll live. It's Jesus' words. Instead of meting out upon us wrath for the reckless death that we caused because of our sin, instead Jesus died and covered us with the ransom of his life so that you, being a murderer, might live tonight. Ransom was paid. That's the gospel, and that's the good news that he announces to all of his children. And that was at the root of what Jesus was teaching when he said, in every situation of wrong with our neighbor, you need to go and do whatever you can to make it right. Make it right. Love them. Show mercy. It's an opportunity for mercy because it proves that you have received mercy. It proves that you understand mercy. It proves that you know mercy in your life. And now you're eager to show it because there's a bigger story to all of this. Go the extra mile. You've been purchased. You've been bought. Show mercy and love since you've been forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for instructing us tonight in your word, in a section in ox scoring that teaches us about the value of human life. We would appreciate tonight whose blood purchased us. It was a righteous judgment had we had to suffer in hell forever. But ultimately, Lord, we could not make right with you what our sins have done, ultimately displayed in our hatred for your beloved Son. And yet you gave him, in the mystery of your perfect will and the fullness of time, when he said it's finished, he bought us back so that today we don't have to make a payment. We're redeemed and we live as free men, being able now to demonstrate the same mercy as we've known in our life. May we go show it this week to our neighbor. But that's what you've taught us in your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Well, and that will conclude our look at the value of human life as shown to us here in Exodus 21. You know, it's oftentimes some of the most obscure passages, being gored by an ox, that reveal some of the greatest truths that you and I rest our faith on in Christ. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.